This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield. Here's one for you. What does the Communist Manifesto have in common with the feminine mystique? Both appear on a top 10 list of the most harmful books of the 19th and 20th centuries, published last week by Human Events magazine. The venerable Conservative Weekly asked a panel of prominent conservatives to nominate books and then vote on them. One of the judges was Herb London, president of the Hudson Institute in Washington, D.C. He joins me now to parse the results. Herb, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be with you.
So, the top three most harmful books were determined to be, in this order, The Communist Manifesto, Mein Kampf, and quotations from Chairman Mao. First of all, were those pretty much consensus picks?
Well, I can't answer that question. I can only tell you that they were three of my picks. Now, you've mentioned others as well, but they were not necessarily my picks. The Feminist Mystique, well, I think may have undermined the relationship between men and women in some way, was not a book that I described as among the most damaging to civilization.
And that was the criterion, damaging to civilization.
Well, in a sense, yes, books that had a kind of pernicious effect on society.
Isn't it true, though, that books don't hurt people, that people hurt people?
Oh, I don't believe that for a minute. Books can sometimes be very, very dangerous. And that's not to say that I believe in censorship at all. In fact, I assign books of precisely this variety to my students. But it's important for them to understand why there's very often a mass psychosis in society and how books play a role in making that happen. Keep in mind that it was not merely the events at Versailles that led to the rise of Nazism. It was also books like Mein Kampf.
I want to go down to number four on the list. That's Alfred Kinsey's Sexual Behavior in the Human Male.
I didn't select that one either. So, I mean, part of the difficulty that I have here is that you're asking me to comment about books that I did not select. But it's okay. If I'll be happy to talk about that if you like.
Well, apparently there was some sort of consensus in the jury. Do you know why it was deemed to be so harmful?
Well, probably because conventional notions of sexuality were changed and the relationship between men and women changed in the process. Normative behavior became very different as a result of the Kinsey Report and what was alleged to be the great changes that were occurring in American sexuality.
And next thing you know, you got like Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania is talking about, you got man-on-dog sex.
Well, I won't even comment on that. I'm not going to dignify that comment. But all I'm saying to you is that if you're looking at normative behavior, clearly changed as a result of the Kinsey Report.
There were the top 10, or the bottom 10. I don't know how you would measure this. But there was also a sort of dishonorable mention list. And I want to go to that for a moment. On the second tier were Ralph Nader's famous book, Unsafe at Any Speed, and Rachel Carson's Silent Spring. Now, those books were widely credited with opening the world's eyes to corporate mischief. What part of those books harmed society?
Well, I'll tell you, because there, I think there is an excellent case to be made against Rachel Carson. Rachel Carson's book led to the net result that DDT could not be employed. There is very little evidence that DDT is harmful. In fact, it could be swallowed without having an adverse effect. And if you want to look at the rise of malaria in Africa and the millions of young children that die each year because of mosquito bites, from a humanitarian standpoint, it seems to me that one of the things you would want to do is introduce DDT into that continent. Now, I don't understand why people, including many people in this country, believe that DDT should be banned, largely based on the mystical science, and I say mystical and I underscore that word, science of Rachel Carson.
What would Human Events magazine and the jury that you were impaneled with do with these books? Would it suppress them now? Would it have suppressed them at the time?
Well, it may very well be that when you consider in retrospect the damage that some of these books have caused in civilization and the millions of lives that were lost in the process, maybe that would have been an appropriate trade-off. Now, I think they are very appropriate historical documents to tell you something about the given view of a people during a certain period.
Why did you get involved in this?
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting. I mean, I often think about books that may have had a pernicious effect on civilization, books that led to massive slaughter. I thought of it as an academic exercise. I can't speak for the other judges. In fact, I don't even know who some of these judges are. So I have no idea whether this was a matter taken seriously, whether these were people who could be regarded as serious people. I mean, if you're trying to say, in effect, that this was a silly exercise, well, of course, you're entitled to do that. But I can't be in the position of doing that because I was not entirely responsible for the entire exercise. All I could take responsibility for were the 10 books I selected.
Okay. Well, Herb, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Herb London is president of the Hudson Institute and one of the jurors in Human Events Magazine's list of the most harmful books of the last two centuries.